guys hear me?
Perfect. Yeah, I can hear that.
So yeah, we're going to do things a bit different today, just because of the nature of the talks that we've been doing, and you know, and just to give you a bit of a recap. Now, and the recap I'll do will not even do the series justice, so I invite you, if you're interested, to go to our website or to our podcast and listen to the rest of the series. But we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And my invitation has been for us to start seeing the idea, the message of the kingdom of God as more than just a geographical place. It's not about, oh, one day we will get to heaven. It's a realm. It's a reality. It's God's power. It's a realm in which we are submitted to the rule and the reign of God. It's a realm. It's a reality in which God's power is in full display. That's the understanding I've been inviting us to. And so we started off by saying, hey, it's in Jesus' view, the reality of God's kingdom, the invitation we've been given is so valuable that when we recognize it, we'll be ready to give up everything else. We'd sell everything we have. It's a pearl of great price that will cost us everything we've got and we'll be satisfied. Because it changes everything. It changes everything about our lives every time. And it's not about just the first time we become aware of God's invitation. It's every time God moves in, everything we've gained to that point is at stake. Everything we've gained, our reputation, everything we've gained to that point, every time God moves in, is on the table. And so we went on to talk about, you know, kingdom expectation, that sometimes the challenge we have is that we're expecting very little. And there has to be more to this. There has to be more to this than just weekly gatherings and weekly rituals and saying, no, there has to be more. God is inviting us to so much more. I really don't think that it's just... It's a totally different paradigm, you know? And sometimes the church is expecting too little. And Jesus is inviting us, no, can you expect that God's power would break through any moment? Can you pray expecting that God would move any moment? Can you walk around this city, walk around, you know, in your house with people you care about and expect God to be doing anything at any moment? Because there has to be more. And so last week, we talked about the invitation Jesus kept giving. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I was telling us that the idea of repentance, the context in which Jesus is speaking about, is a change of mindset. We all encounter this word repent in very different ways. It says, hey, you're a terrible person and you need to be very sorry and beat yourself up. But Jesus, when he kept saying repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, he kept saying, listen, the way the world thinks about these things is very different because this is a totally different paradigm. This is a totally different reality. Unless you change how you think about these things, even though they may be happening right in front of you, you will not be aware. So I kept inviting us, how could we disown things in our culture, narratives we have that keep keeping us from accepting a totally different reality? But what does that mean? And that's what I want to get into today. Just it'll be a little bit more of what we did last weekend, because I just want to, you know, some of us might have left this place thinking, okay, what is repentance? How does that even look? How do I change my paradigm? How do I accept a different reality? And you know, I think the other way to illustrate that word repent would be to say repentance means to have faith like a child. And I'm guessing a number of you have been around kids. I hope, you know. I was walking down from the house during the week, And right across, there's a school on my way to this place, and I notice a sign saying, "Stop children." I'm glad that the government also realizes that sometimes children are a nuisance, they need help for them to get stopped. So stop children. Or maybe children cross at that point, I don't know. But you know, if you've been around kids, who is the strongest person to a kid? Their parents. No one can beat their mom, no one can beat their dad in anything. Not even the police. Nothing could ever threaten a kid's parents in a kid's mind. You know, when I was a child, the worst threat we could give each other, if you really wanted to upset someone, just tell them, "I could beat you and your dad." Oh, now there you've done it. There you've done it. You could threaten to beat them till kingdom come. But if you bring their dad to the mix, that's a different story, right? Because there's nothing that could ever beat a kid's parents. That's the world they live in. You know, something that in the African culture we never get over is how we love our mothers. And it starts from when we were kids. Like, our mothers are everything. They're the best cooks ever. Until you start going to your neighbors and then your mom realizes, wow, you know. Now I understand why my mom always said you have to be home by 4. Because I might have found out someone else cooked better. Anyway, she still cooks amazing. They're the best cooks ever. So there was a hockey tournament between Australia and South Africa. And Australia is comfortable with taunting each other. You know, it's part of the sport, because if they demoralize you and they win, a win is a win. And in most sports, that's okay. But you see, in most of Africa, just don't say anything about anyone's mother. Even the word, "your mom." Oh, no. You know. So to this day, there's such great animosity between the Australian team and the South Africa team, just because, something we carried on from when we were kids. Our mothers are the best. Our fathers are the best. You know, some cultures have a tradition around Christmas, which, by the way, is 17 Sundays away. Yeah? So some cultures around Christmas would hide a doll, an elf, and then kids would search for it the next morning. So in the night when the kids are asleep, parents are tiptoeing around the house to hide the elf perfectly, and then the kids wake up in the morning and they're convinced that that elf found its way there. They're convinced nothing could take that away from them. "Oh, I found him, I found him. He was hiding right here." Like, what? No, your parent hid it. Has a kid ever told you the story of their favorite unicorn? You know, Hadi, the daughter of our kids' pastor, joins us for staff meeting. And we have a tradition. Every time we meet, we start by checking in on each other. "Hey, how are you doing? How has your week been? What's going on in your life?" And because she's part of us, she gets her chance. Actually, we didn't think about it until one day she said, "Hey, when do I get my chance?" And now every time her mom brings her around, she gets her chance. "Hey, how's your week been?" And she's excited to share. And sometimes she starts telling stories and you're going, "Where is this coming from?" But you can see her eyes just glow. They're lit up. Her emotions are lit up. And she's talking about a unicorn and she means it. You know? She means it. That's how kids tell stories. That's for the kids' world, it's that reality is as real as we are sitting right here together. If this is real for that kid, that is as real. And I recognize that it's not about childhood faith. I recognize that sometimes our childhood faith doesn't stand the scrutiny of adult life. I recognize that even here, some of us are sitting here and you know, you you grew up and something major happened in your life that really, really made you question a lot of things that you walked around with as childhood faith. I recognize that some of us did all they could in school to go to college, and then a philosophy teacher walked into their class, and all of a sudden, the childhood faith couldn't stand the scrutiny of adult life. Or you know, you started traveling the world and you started experiencing global religion, and the childhood faith couldn't stand the scrutiny of adult life. And that's not what, I don't think that's what we're being invited to. It's not so much about childhood faith. It's about adults who recognize and see this reality and still are aware that God is inviting us to a totally different reality. It's about faith like a child. It's about saying, yeah, I see what you're saying, but God. You know, when they say, well, really, do you really think God could heal them? They are on their last days. I know how difficult it may sound, but God. That's exactly how children would act. So you're not ignoring this reality. You're just responding to a very different reality. Because what realities we respond to are totally our choice. What paradigms we respond to are totally our choice. So it's not childhood faith. It's faith like a child. It's an adult and children who are making a deliberate choice to accept a different paradigm. You know, kids have no dichotomies between, you know, in their lives. You know, faith and life are the same thing. For a kid, faith and life are the same thing. It's not, oh, this is my area of faith and this is my area of life. This is where I ask God to do things and I don't really think God shows up here. No, for a kid, it's all the same thing, you know? When you ask a kid to pray about something, they have no doubt. They pray, and then they ask you the next moment, do we have it? Right? You know, my dad used to take me out for lunch every other end of the term, and he'd take all of us out. I grew up with three of my brothers, and one thing he really enjoyed about my company is that I didn't think of anything like financial limitation. So we'd walk into a restaurant and I would order for the biggest thing I thought of. And at that moment, it was just a plate of chips and quarter chicken. It meant everything, right? I wasn't thinking, well, will Dad pay this? You know? And sometimes that we don't realize that that's what we're being invited to. You got a blank check. What you gonna write on it? A kid prays, and the next moment they're asking, where is it? You told me to pray about it, Mom. Is it here yet? Oh, no, just wait a bit. Jesus will answer it. Okay. Has Jesus answered it? It's like the next 5 minutes. Are we there yet? You know? So what we're being invited to is even though we experience the reality of this paradigm, even though we experience the reality of this time, to not lose our wonder and our expectation. Just like kids never lose their wonder and their expectation. When God does something, oh my word, a kid's eyes light up. I prayed for this and it happened. Their eyes light up. You know, this is how Jesus framed the same message one time. He kept saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the promised time is now. At different time, he said it like this in Mark 10:15. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. This is the same message in a different way. That repentance is actually beginning to look at these things like a child would. It's beginning to look at life and going, yes, I hear you, but God. It's when someone says, well, but this is reality. Yes, I see what you're saying. But then there is this reality. This is our reality. What is it that the kingdom of God breaks through any moment? And, you know, as we were finishing last week's conversation, I was inviting you to also realize that it's okay to struggle with doubt and unbelief. It's okay. They can come along. They won't stay long. It's okay. And I just want to say on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ that I'm sorry if you've ever walked in and you felt like you had to have it all figured out before you can become family. I'm sorry if you went to some places and it felt like unless you totally believe everything, you cannot be part of this. No, the invitation of Jesus is, hey, come follow me. So it's okay, and I invited you to a prayer that I often make. I often make this prayer and it's I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I have no idea how many times I've had to pray that prayer. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's okay to walk with your doubts and lay them at his feet and say, hey, I want this new paradigm, but I'm having a bit of trouble here. And you see, if the invitation of the message of the kingdom of God is so amazing, then God helping you through unbelief is a no-brainer. That's too little. Sometimes that's our biggest fear, that what if I walk in and God is upset that I have a little bit of doubt? No, you will never disappoint God. God helping you through unbelief is such a small thing. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. A friend of mine, the one thing about the realm of the kingdom of God is that it's powered through the power of God and the source of the power of God, the source of the life of God. So the source of the life of the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. And a friend of mine uses an illustration that I want to borrow. You know, we have very good sound gear here. It's not top of the line, but it's really good. It does a great job. And so some worship nights, which we have this Wednesday, some Sunday mornings, everything is working just right. The sound is amazing. The lights are functioning. And you can hear the music. You can feel the vibrations. You can see what we're trying to project. All these things you're seeing, you can see, you can hear, you can feel them. In reality, you know, intuitively, you know that all those things only work because they've been plugged into the power source. So we can't quite see that power, but we can see the impact of that power, right? So we know that all these things will be of no use to us unless we plug them in. And it's the same reality that unless we plug into the Holy Spirit, Sunday morning talks will just be great talks. Reading scripture will just be another study through literature. Nothing in the kingdom of God works unless we are plugged in to the Holy Spirit. And we can see, even though we can't quite see the Holy Spirit, we can see the impact he's having on people's lives. We can see him move. We can feel him move. This is how Jesus put it. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it is coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And I imagine if there was electricity at the time of Jesus, he could have used the same illustration. You can't quite see it, but you can feel it. You can hear it. You can see its impact. That's how we recognize that the Holy Spirit is moving. And unless we are plugged in, everything else just seems like lifeless sound stuff, you know? Some people have walked into this gathering and said, there was something, I felt something. Others recognized what it was and said, hey, I felt the presence of God, and that's how I knew I wanted to stay. You know? Others have said, hey, there's something different about how you do things, because it feels like you guys actually know God and He's among you. What are people realizing? That you can't quite see it, but you can see the impact it's having on people. And people can notice it. Just like the wind rushing through leaves and you can hear its sound, you can hear the sound of hearts crying out to God, and you can tell there is something. Some of us have no idea, you know, some people walk in and they have no idea what that is, and that's the Holy Spirit, you know? Sometimes during the song part of our worship celebration, you can tell that there's something palpable happening here. And some of us don't, you know, some of you have watched and gone, what the heck just happened? But because you can see that people are acting different. You can see, sometimes people are feeling it on their skin. Sometimes people are in tears. Sometimes people are kneeling down. You can see the impact of the Holy Spirit. People are walking out of here saying, hey, I feel better. I was healed. You know, my life is different. You can't quite see it, but you can see the impact it's having. You know, Jesus was the prophesied king, of the Jewish scriptures, the scriptures that make our Old Testament, and he came, preaching one message: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But there was another guy who came before him, and he was his cousin. His name was John. And now we call him John the Baptist. It doesn't mean he went to the Baptist church. And it's okay if he did, that's fine. So John would baptize people by the River Jordan. Guess what John's message was? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It was the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins. Come and be baptized. And Jesus, the anointed king, the reason why John was baptizing was because the king of the kingdom was coming. And Jesus, the king of the kingdom, shows up and he gets baptized. I think that was such humility. Jesus gets baptized, and as he rises out of the water, the Spirit of God comes and rests upon him. Guess what? The king of the kingdom, the one everyone was waiting for, when he walked this earth, he only functioned under the power of the Holy Spirit. Fully God, fully man, yet he did not consider it robbery to empty himself of deity and become like one of us. So everything Jesus did, he did under the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the same power we're being invited to plug into. You know, the same power, the same life that gave sight to the blind, that opened deaf ears, that raised the dead, the same life that conquered the grave is the same life that lives in us. That's why there has to be more than there has to be more to this. The same life that was in Jesus as he moved around, as he did the good things he did, is the same life we have in us. It's a total paradigm shift, but in order to see things in this new paradigm, we have to accept, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're talking about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit opens us up to the kingdom of God. And I love science, I love philosophy, I love studying world religions, I love history so much. It makes me cry sometimes if I get the opportunity to just walk through streets that have a very historic, you know? And it's not about an antagonism between those two worlds. It's actually a realization that we're talking about a totally different paradigm that is breaking into this new paradigm. So at the end of this celebration, we'd like to pray for anyone who would love to receive the Holy Spirit. And hey, We can't tell how God does things. Sometimes people receive the Holy Spirit by having hands laid on them and people praying over them. So we might as well just obey and try. Sometimes He just fills them with the Holy Spirit because He's filling them with the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. But the invitation is to desire, is to pray for it, is to ask for it. You know? You know, if I were to say, what are some of the things that just keep us from experiencing life in the kingdom of God, I would say one of them is just, one of them is that we don't recognize that it's a totally different paradigm. You know, and the second one is that we are sometimes in a hurry. Hey, could we move to the next song so that we get to the talk, so that we get home? Or maybe you're praying at home and you go, okay, I need to finish this so I get into the car and go. We're always in a hurry. Could we rediscover silence? Could we rediscover slowing down in a culture that's saying, get to the next thing? So sometimes when we're praying for people during the prayer ministry time, we just stand still and in silence and wait. And for some people, it gets awkward because, you know, it's cultural for so many people to close their eyes when they're praying so hard. And then they realize, wow, these guys are a bit quiet. So they open one eye and then the next one, and then they find you staring at them. It's like, what are you doing? What we're doing is just waiting. We're just waiting. Because sometimes we're so in a rush. And God wants to do something, but we're so in a rush. I think that's one of the things, that's one of the things that keeps the church from experiencing all that God is inviting us to. So I invite you, try this sometime as you pray for people, or as you spend your time in prayer in the morning, in the evening, or as you walk. Don't rush it. Just wait. It's not another ritual to get over. It's not another ritual to get over. You might as well not do it. You'll never disappoint God if you don't do it. But if you're going to do it, why don't you just wait? Why don't you just slow down? And I think the other thing that keeps us away is disobedience. Some of us have felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit, but we just go, oh, no way. I ain't doing that. Why? Because this is risky, or we feel it is. But guess what? Faith is actually spelled risk. Faith is actually spelled risk. You know, and this is why, you know, what do I mean? I'm sure, and I just want us to recognize when God is moving around you. I'm sure sometimes sitting here or in the coffee shop or you have felt an invitation to say, pray for someone, or go tell them something, or give them something. You felt that nudge, and there was a huge tension in your heart. What if I'm embarrassed? What if it means nothing to them? What if I pray for them and they don't get well? So there's this whole battle inside your heart. Do you know why? Because these are two different paradigms in a conflict. And so often what we end up choosing is safety. Oh, I'm unwell. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll pray for you. Because it's safer to say that and walk away than it is to stand there and say, can we pray and see what will happen? You someone comes up to say, oh man, this is what's happening in my life. And what do people do? Immediately they switch into counseling mode. You know, you could do this and you could do that. Why? Because it's safer to just be on output mode than sit silently and ask, Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? What are you saying here? You know, every time you feel that nudge and you're telling yourself, please don't be silly. It just could be the Holy Spirit inviting you to something. And I've told this story before. You know, I was in Birmingham, and we did a prayer walk in the city. And I've never done this in Kenya because it's easier to do it where people don't know you. I know, I struggle with the same stuff. But it was still very, very hard. So we were walking around the city square. It's weird. Do you actually know that some cities have city squares? So anyway, we were in the city square, and there were just people sitting around. You know, it was like our Nyayo Gardens. Nyayo Gardens? Yes. And so we would walk around with my friends and say, hey, I'm offering prayer. Would you like any? It's like a hulking prayer, you know? Hey, I'm offering, you know? Hey, would you like some? And, it was so terrible. Everybody said no. And I was now consoling myself. I was happy with the fact that some people said, no, I don't even believe. And I would say, but would you like to have a conversation about Jesus? And like, yeah, let's talk about Jesus. And so I had great conversations about Jesus, but no one really allowed me to pray with them. So after an hour, I was done. I was a bit discouraged, and I was happy it was not Nakuru. So I'm walking back to the place we were gathering, and I see a guy at the very end of the square, and he's smoking probably his third. And I just felt, go ask him about his girlfriend. That's the odd. How do you walk up to a total stranger and ask them about their girlfriend? That's just odd. It's wrong. It's wrong, and I'm saying it's wrong as I walk towards him. I'm thinking, don't be silly. Why? I'm struggling with this. There's a nudge, but I'm just feeling, oh my word. So I get there and we start talking. And I, of course, I didn't ask him about that. Because oftentimes the Holy Spirit talks to us. We just go, I'll take the safe route out, right? So I go, hey, would you like some prayer? I didn't ask him about the one thing I was meant to ask about. So he said, no. It's like, I believe in God, but I believe like, you know, there's so many gods. And, you know, I believe in energy. That's a word he used, yeah. And I thought, oh my word, I am so out of my league here. Okay, let's talk about energy then. Anyway, the conversation runs dry. Like, I'm going to go now. And I said, hey, I just felt I should ask you about your girlfriend, if you have one. It's like, actually, that's why I'm in this square, because she's very sick right now. I'm so worried. And I don't even have enough money to take care of her. I was like, whoa, okay. So maybe we could pray for your girlfriend. I mean, you have nothing to lose. You know, I actually told him, you have nothing to lose if we pray right now. And he's like, okay, let's do it. And he wants to put his cigarette out. And I'm like, nah, don't, you don't have to. Let's, you know, this is God's thing. Smoke doesn't get to heaven. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe they're smoke detectors. So as I pray for him, and I told him, listen, just be yourself, and I'll have my eyes open because I want to see anything that might be happening. And I notice he starts laughing. It's like, I'm like, at this point, I really don't want to be discouraged. Don't laugh at me. Anyway, so I said, why are you laughing? It's like, no, you'd think I'm joking. I'm like, no, tell me. Nah, never mind. Anyway, I keep praying, and he laughs some more. I'm like, okay, I'd like you to tell me why you're laughing. It's like this heat coming from you. There's so much energy coming from you. I can feel it. I'm like, ah. Still, sorry. That's not the energy that was coming from me. There's so much energy coming from me. And I'm like, yes, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. It's like, wow, I've never experienced such a thing. Do you live in Birmingham? And at that point, I figured if I told him I'm just traveling from Kenya, it would distract him. So I said, no, I'm just here for a few days, which was true. But he's so excited, like, let's go out for a beer, and then you can show me your church. I'm like, yeah, I hope your girlfriend is better, so you can call her and see how she's doing. You know, it's one Sunday morning when I'm busy trying to do the talk here and chat just goes da da da, and she's reading scripture out to all of us. This was totally out of her character. If you guys know chat, if we could have a small room where she's part of the church but no one else is seeing her, that would be great. It was totally out of her character. What was happening? And she said she was battling with her now. She's like, I really feel like I should drink this, but I really don't want to. What is happening? The Holy Spirit is nudging us. And I'm sure as I say this, so many of you can recognize the times you felt an impression in your heart. You just think, maybe I should say this. Maybe I should pray for them. Maybe I should walk up to them. And you're going, no, don't be silly. You see, what you're experiencing is the tension of the kingdom of God. Two realities at battle with each other. And the invitation is to accept the other reality, the reality of God's world. It is a risk. Go ahead and ask them. Go ahead and pray for them. Here's the thing. If you walk up to someone and say, hey, I felt like you may need prayer. Listen. Or hey, I just heard this word and I thought it might be for you. Or I saw this image and I thought it might mean something to you. If you walk up to them and it meant nothing, no one's going to die. Right? But if you do not, and it meant everything to them, you've missed the opportunity of being part of what God is doing in their lives. And who knows what they have missed, you know? If you tell them and it's right and it's theirs, they walk away encouraged, they walk away enlivened, and you walk away built in your faith, right? So I'm encouraging you, even right now, pay attention to those nudgings you're feeling right now. You see, it's one day, just another story. We're doing the talk, and I just felt, okay, guys, I feel like there was someone who was really struggling with self-harm. And that's an odd thing to invite people into. Like, I was so uncomfortable saying that. And then no one came up for prayer. I'm like, okay, that's it. Later on, there was a lady in the building, and she was here for the first time, and she said, yeah, I've been cutting myself, and I was done. So I was struggling with it, but I didn't know what it would mean to her. You see, I think she walked out of this celebration knowing that God knows her situation, that God cares about her, and that God is speaking into her life. I'm glad I stepped into that space. You know? They walk out of this place feeling loved. I want to tell you a final story and then we'll get into our response time. So I think like a month ago, I got the opportunity to go see my parents because I don't get that often. And so I was in the garage and I was packing some stuff to bring home, and I took a pair of shoes for my friend. I got a pair of shoes for my friend, and I thought, man, I'd love these to fit him. I called them. It's like, hey, what size do you wear? Most Kenyans have no idea what that is because you just go with the print of your shoe. Well, not most Kenyans. I don't know. Sorry. That's very wrong. I really don't know. You know, it's, you know, you go with the print of your shoe, like, do you have this size? So came back home and we were going out for a wedding, and it just felt right for me to go back home that night. And when I was in my room, I just thought, why don't you just pack out a whole suitcase of clothes? Because you need to give them away. But I had no idea who I was supposed to give them to. And it's odd to just walk up to someone and go, hey, I'm wondering if you need some clothes. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for both of us. Because we live in a culture that says we need to be totally independent, you know? So it was very uncomfortable. So George and I were driving the next morning, and I asked him, do you know anyone who'd use some clothes? It's like, let me think. I don't know. Like, now I'm stuck with a bunch of clothes I'm ready to give away. And so then the Sunday that followed, one of our bassists walks up to me and says, oh, there's a guy who came to church, and I'd like you to talk to him. Now, interesting, another member of our team, Joy, had tried to get my attention, and there were kids all around me. She said, hey, there's a guy here I'd like you to talk to. It's like, okay, I'll get to it. And then I started playing with the kids and I totally forgot and I walked away. And so I was having a different conversation around the tea area, and our bassist comes and says, hey, there's a guy here who came yesterday, I need you to talk to him. I'm like, okay, let's go do this. And man, it's an amazing story of so this guy had walked into the bonfire and he felt welcome enough to come back. And so he said, hey, he said he was an addict. And so we just started praying. Started praying for him and just, again, sitting quietly for some moments and watching. And he's looking, what's happening here? Don't worry, you're okay. You're in safe hands. And so his eyes actually began to clear as we were praying for him. And I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. This is such cool news. And immediately, I just remember the clothes and I laughed because it would have felt so awkward to ask someone, hey, would you like some clothes? So I just laughed and I thought, don't do it. So when we were done, it was an amazing prayer time. We saw the Holy Spirit beginning to work on him. And as I was walking away, the bassist, Joseph, tags me and says, so he'd asked for some clothes and so I bought him a pair of pants and a shirt. And he just needs a place to clean up and change. And I'm going, oh, actually those clothes are his. So I go back to him and say, listen, I didn't know, it crossed my mind as we were praying for you, but I ignored it and I'm so sorry. But I think we have a whole bag of clothes for you. So he goes in to take a shower. Oh, part of the other story, the pair of shoes I brought didn't fit my friend. It's like, oh man, that kind of hurts. Like when you're like, yay, surprise, oh, they don't work. So anyway, so my friend walks out of the building and meets this guy and says, why don't you try these on? And they fit. You know what that guy walked away here knowing? That God loved him. Just because a few of us stepped up and decided, I'm going to obey despite the tension I'm feeling. If life in the kingdom of God was a three-legged stool, I think I would say one leg is repentance, accepting that this is a totally different paradigm, and asking God, help my unbelief where I'm struggling, abandoning worldviews and attitudes that are in opposition. The other leg would be being filled with the Holy Spirit, because there's nothing that comes alive in God's kingdom unless it is powered by the life of the Spirit of God. And the last one would be obedience, to take the risk and go, okay, I'm just going to say this because it's upon God anyway. So I want to invite the band back on stage as we finish. So what we're going to do today will be a bit different. I want us to wait on the Holy Spirit, to be silent, you know, to just stay in that atmosphere and asking one question: God, where are you moving? God, what are you doing? God, what are you saying? And if you hear your heart racing, and you're thinking, I really want to go and share this, and you're fighting it, maybe you should come and share it. And if you see someone in the room and you're thinking, and they just keep catching your attention, maybe walk up to them and politely ask, hey, can I pray for you? Okay, don't go, and the Lord said, no, just, it's already incredible what God will do, so just go, hey, can I pray for you? So why don't you stand? So if you get any word of knowledge for healing, it's coming up.